In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Word for Life Radio from Brookside Baptist Church. I'm your host today, Jake Schnorr, and I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this exciting broadcast of Tongues for today. We are discussing over the past few broadcasts the question of spiritual gifts, and specifically that of the gift of tongues. Is this miraculous gift for today? Is it only for the days of the apostles? Is it only for centuries past, but for some reason has stopped? I'm hoping that we can answer that question today as we're going to conclude this lesson. Well, a brief recap for those who have not been able to tune in. We talked about the history of tongues in the New Testament, and the history is found in the book of Acts. I challenge you to read through it and to write down and make note of every single passage that talks about the gift of tongues, and you'll see three separate occasions. Chapter 2, there's the presentation of Pentecost, and we see that that's the most detailed and arguably the most important manifestation of the gift of tongues. But second of all, we see the preaching of Peter, and that is technically in chapters 10 and 11, so there's two chapters that cover that one incident, but that was when he saw the conversion of Cornelius, who is a Gentile, which Peter and the other Jews who were with Peter were just astonished, the text says, because they couldn't believe that God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit that manifested itself by speaking in tongues to the Gentiles. They couldn't believe it. Next, we see the persuading of Paul, when Paul persuaded the followers of John the Baptist that they need to be born again, they need to believe in Jesus, and they need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, not with the baptism of John. Next, we covered the overview of the teaching in the New Testament, which just covers the three main passages in the New Testament that are all found in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 that mention this gift. After that, we talked about the theology of tongues. We talked about the misconceptions behind it and why there are so many ideas behind what it is and what it isn't. And we talked about how people are just confused and they have ideas about the Bible that aren't scripturally grounded, but in their experience or in people's opinion. We talked about the unidentifiable languages. We talked about how people believe that it was new revelation when tongues was typically only confirmation of the revealed word of God. And even certain pastors who consider themselves open to the idea of tongues, but they consider themselves cautious. So they say we're open, but we're cautious to the gift of tongues. And so what they say is that if someone prophesies or if someone speaks in tongues, they will allow it if, number one, they follow all of the steps in 1 Corinthians 14. In other words, they're not going to just have people speak in tongues and say whatever they want and believe that it's from the Lord, but rather they follow the step-by-step instructions that Paul clearly gave, which I tip my hat off and I commend those pastors that they're so diligent to the word of God that they want to take it literally. However, they fail to understand the clear biblical passages that show us that tongues really have ceased. And so all that to say, if these pastors who are open but cautious, if they follow all of the steps of tongues, the second qualification is whatever they do say needs to line up with the word of God. And as I was speaking with a pastor the other day about this and asking his opinion, majority of the time when we hear the gift of tongues being used in America, it is in a church that speaks all the same language. Meaning, if people have a message that they want to share in English, the question then is, well, why don't they just share it in English? Why do they have to share it in a language where they cannot understand and it needs to be interpreted? So we talked about what tongues were not. We talked about it being the source of spiritual success. After that, we talked about what it truly was and that it was a known language. So if people are speaking in tongues, it must be a known language. We talked about the importance of understanding that tongues was a sign. A sign for two things. First of all, to Israel, but second of all, to Gentiles. And again, I'm fast forwarding through all of this summary so that if you miss the first ones, you can have an idea of where we've been, so that when we cover today, which is our final point of why tongues have ceased, you can make sense of how we've come to our conclusion. Because many people turn to the passage that we're studying today and they have no concept of what we've discussed in the previous broadcast. They have no idea of all the ground we've already covered, which you need to understand why we come to the conclusion for this passage. And that passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And this is the definitive passage on the gift of tongues. No passage in the Bible is as important to the conversation of tongues as is this passage. Specifically verses 8 to 10, but we're going to spend a good amount of time on just verse 8. So if you have your Bibles, open up, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8, and you can follow along. It says, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." In verse 12, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And so today I want to spend some time on relating to why I believe that tongues have ceased, that tongues are not for today, that tongues had a purpose and that they served the purpose. But just as a battery that loses the juice and that is used up, you cannot use that battery anymore. It is useless. So the word cease comes from the word peao in verse 8, and it means to drain the life of or to cease from usability. A closer look at this verb will help our discussion. The word done away with prophecy is important to realize because it is the first of three words that Paul uses that is going to be done away with. There's three gifts that God gave the church: prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Now, there are more gifts that God gave the church, but for this discussion, there are three important gifts that God gave that have to do with the revealing of God's word, the revealing of God's truth. Prophecy, number one, foretelling of God's truth. Just as in the Old Testament, we have countless accounts and examples of prophets, so we have the same exact type of prophets in the New Testament. People that got words from the Lord, and similar to Jonah, who would travel around the world and preach forth the word of God, who would proclaim it, and it wasn't simply memorizing scripture, although they did, but they would produce scripture. Second of all, we see tongues mentioned in verse 8. It says, "Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease." Finally, we see knowledge. "Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away." This is the third gift that is given to the church that is mentioned in verse 8, and all three of these are all tied together in two ways. First of all, they all deal with the word of God. Second of all, they are all going to be done away with. The question is, when? Now, I want to pause here and make a statement that you may not agree with at first, but I'm going to say that every person on the planet is a cessationist. Now, if that word is unfamiliar to you, all that means is that the miraculous gifts of the apostles will cease. What I'm saying is that every person in the world is a cessationist. The only question is, when? When will they cease? And we're going to deal with that issue in just a moment. So all of the gifts that God gave that deal with revealing his truth, revealing his word, prophecy, tongues, knowledge, are going to cease, are going to fail, are going to lose usefulness. The question is, when? And we figure that out in the next passage. It says, "For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is what? Perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with." So we see that an event is going to cause these things to be done away with. The question is, what is that event? And I want to spend the next few minutes on going through the possibilities of that event, of that word perfect. The word perfect is the event that's going to cause all these things to stop. For again, it says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with, referring to those three categories of revelation in the first verse. So what is the perfect? First of all, the word perfect could be referring to the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. This is for those who believe that before the tribulation, God is going to take his church from the earth and bring it into heaven. He's going to meet us in the air. He's not going to touch ground. He's going to meet us in the clouds. Thessalonians says he's going to take us up, and at the last trumpet, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and thus we shall always be with the Lord, those who believe in Christ. So some people think that this is referring to that because it says face to face. The perfect is going to be marked by being face to face with something. It appears that someone. However, this cannot be the case because the rapture of the church would mean that after that, that there's going to be no prophesying, that there's going to be no speaking in tongues, there's going to be no further knowledge of God to be gained. And we know that in the tribulation, which is after the rapture of the church, there's going to be speaking in tongues and there's going to be prophesying. In fact, there's going to be the Antichrist who's going to have his, what? His prophet. So it can't be the rapture of the church. Second of all, the maturing of the church. Is the perfect the maturing of the church? Now, this is for those, many of who do not believe in the rapture, which there are many. Myself and Brookside are certainly not a church that rejects the rapture. We believe wholeheartedly that the Bible is clear on that subject. But for those who reject it, say that the perfect is when the church is matured, when the church has grown in likeness of Christ to the point where they usher in the kingdom of God. Now, this also can't be the case because we understand that there's still going to be the tribulation. These people who reject the rapture still believe in a tribulation. And again, there's going to be the prophesying and there's going to be speaking in tongues during the tribulation. So it can't be the maturing of the church. Next, we see the second coming of Christ. Again, this answers the question of being face to face, but this neglects to answer the question of knowledge. Is there not going to be any more gained knowledge in the millennial kingdom? Is there not going to be any need for teaching of the prophetic ministry of the word? I submit that there will be, because there's going to be people drawn to Christ and still people drawn away because of Satan, and the battle of Armageddon gets the people who were led astray. Fourth of all, eternal state. Some people believe that the eternal state is when we're going to be face to face with God, and that explains why and when the tongues are going to cease, which means that they're still going to go on until then. But this can't be the case, because face-to-face is neuter. And if it's being face-to-face with Jesus, it would be a man. But finally, we understand that the perfect would mean the completion of the canon. And we know that this is the case, because only once we have the complete scriptures, only once we have the complete Word of God, do we not need the partial revealing of the Word of God through prophecy, through tongues, and through knowledge. Well, I am sorry, but we ran out of time today. Pray that you will tune in to our next sermon series, and we pray that you also come out to Brookside sometime. We have our services Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night, and we're just excited that you joined us today. Until next time, Lord bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.